Lord, even keeping away from all influence, and I've been seeking the Lord for our church and for the city. There's a cry in the city that is taking place. And whenever there's a cry, like Nineveh, there was crying. There's a lot of crying in the city. God sent ministries. And our church is one of them. God sent us here in Murdoch, and now we will be also extending the Bible, because God is hearing the cry of the city. But God also cried over the city. He wants the city to be saved. And so He wants the church to cooperate, to do so many, to bring the power of God. Do you know this is a house of God, gateway to heaven? And what you did changed the atmosphere over the city. What you do it here, it affects all. It affects all the body of Christ. At the same time, it affects the climate of the city. And so the church is the house of God, gateway to heaven. God speaks through the church. And that is why we need to be called. We need to be united. Amen. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me very clearly is on giving. Who are you putting on giving? Whatever you give to the Lord, even a cup of water, God sees it, but He not sees it only for today, He sees it forever. All your givings, even a cup of water to someone, God sees it and says, there was no wise, you will lose your reward. Say with me, in no wise, I will lose my reward. In all your giving, God will give it, or God will receive. And so what is the requirement of stewardship? I want to lay some foundation, physical foundation, and I want to release the prophetic word. Okay, number one, faithfulness. Say with me, faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Number two, teachable spirit.
Teachable spirit.
Number three, desire to serve people. Number four, a servant heart. This and five, a willing to give. These are the five foundations in giving. But this morning, the prophetic word is, God is telling, learn to receive. All that you have sown, learn to receive. I come, we came from Asia, we like to give, but no receiving. But this morning, the Lord is telling to you, all that you have sown, God sees it forever. Say with me, forever.
Forever.
Your giving is seen by God forever. So even in eternity, God will reward you. Even at judgment seat of Christ, God will reward you. It's an awesome thought that God sees our giving. And this morning, God said, learn to receive. Say with me, learn to receive.
Learn to receive.
In all your giving, to your needs and to your to whatever, God said, learn to receive. Say with me, learn to receive.
Learn to receive.
Say, learn to receive.
Learn to receive.
Say with me five times. Learn to receive.
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 I pray and activate that. When you're giving, God will give you back. This is the principle of the what you sow is what you reap. Not only in finance and everything. How you treat people, people will treat you back. This is the law and the prophet. He says, do unto people what you will expect people to do to you. This is the law and the prophet. When you give, what you sow, what learn to receive. You have sown. This church has been sowing. We have sown and sown and sown. It's time for us, God say, learn to receive. When the blessing comes, don't say enough. Just receive it. Take it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I activate this prophetic word right now.
Amen.
Learn to receive. Lord, that this mentality will come upon us.
Yes.
That we will learn to give so that we can have seed to sow.
Yes.
Seed to sow. And sowing to reap. And reap to sow. Lord, I activate this dimension in every area of our life.
Yes.
Not only finance, in love, in peace, in joy, in every aspect, in kindness.
Yes.
In Lord, activate it right now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ready for God's word?
Yes.
Because you know, we'll share God's word. You know, the word.
let's do our confession before we get into the word. Are you all ready?
Yes.
We will win
because we believe what the word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen. Walk and agree with what God says.
Amen.
3:3.
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready to give thanks to God?
Yes.
Let's praise Him. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Oh, sorry about that. Okay. Are you all awake?
Yes.
I'm sure now everyone's ready to receive the word, but not only to hear, but to receive, but also to believe it, right? And then after that, in the days to come, to release whoever who needs it. Amen?
Yep.
Alright. So today I just want to share, we've been talking a lot about Songs of Solomon, right? I mean, Pastor Machin's advertised it, Pastor Ludwig advertised it in his message, and I really, really recommend, if you can get hold of it, it's really good. It's a really good exposition of not just reading the words, because if you just look at it, Song of Solomon, it doesn't really make sense. It's just like a love story of this Shulamite woman and the king, and then there's this different symbols, like, or what they call it, the agriculture language of the day. And if you just read it, it would be very confusing. And you're like, how do people get insights from this? Well, that's what I felt when I first, before we got into the lessons, we had to write it. And when we were writing, I was like, how is it that I can learn anything from this? Like, except for love. Like, you know, just love, right? But then there was a lot more than that. And the person who shared, Mike Bickle, really expanded to us. And wow, it was such an amazing thing. And it's so timely with this year that we're talking about increase in intimacy with God. And Pastor Ludwig shared last week about, you know, how do we know that the people are prepared for the coming of the Lord is when the hearts of the children turn to the Father, right? When we respond to the love of the Father. But in order to respond, we need to know the love of the Father. And I feel like Song of Solomon just opened that a lot more, like beyond what we can see. Amen? So I kind of titled it as Partnership of Mature Sons with the Father, right? Because in terms of the love relationship that we have with God, it is dynamic. It's not just one way. It's not just God loving us and then we just do whatever we want and God keeps loving. It's not like that at all. It's that when we realize the great love that God has for us, then as Father God and we here as sons, we begin to respond, we begin to change, and we begin to want to work with Him. That's why I talk about this, we'll call, quote unquote, partnership. Right? Because as we begin to see, or as we were learning from the Song of Solomon, this is what I kept thinking, wow, this year, this is the one thing I want to catch. So a lot of things that I've shared here, it's not something I'm already there, but it's really what I desire to get into for this year. Yeah, and I hope that everyone also have this desire, and that word that's been released is that there is increase in hunger and thirst for Him and for His word and for His righteousness. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, and we know that our interaction with God, our relationship with God, it, as Christians, it's always described in a relational way, right? Father, Son, or in Song of Solomon, it's talk about the King or King Jesus with His bridegroom, the church. Yeah?
Yep.
And as we go through the Song of Solomon, there is this thing about learning to know the heartbeat of God. You know, like we sing about, you know, we want to lean, what's that song? Lean against it and hear His heartbeat, right? And it's like, we can sing, it's very poetic, but what does it truly mean? I really want to experience that. Amen?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah? And like David, who's been described as a man after God's heart, that's the kind of person we want to be. Because as we go further, we see that then our journey in life will not be, quote unquote, as difficult. Because we will see that it is all as a response to His love. Amen? Alright, so just to recap last week, next slide, that Pastor Louis shared from this verse, Luke chapter 1:13-17, about, you know, making ready the people for the Lord, And he said that, how do we know when we see this being fulfilled? It's when people start responding to the love of the Father. This is Heavenly Father, right? Number one. Number two was responding to your spiritual parents. Alright? The senior pastors of the local church. When we respond to our spiritual parents. And the last one is to respond to our own natural parents. This is when we can see a manifestation of people that are ready for the coming of the Lord. But as I said before, in order to respond, we must first understand or know the love of God, right? So when we live in a continual revelation of who God is and His love, then we will begin to change our way of life, begin to change our attitude towards certain things, begin to walk in different ways. And then the other aspect of this relationship is also that Jesus is preparing a bride for Himself, right? And it's described in the marriage. And so before we go there, in the next slide, the verses there, I think you all can know already that our Heavenly Father is described as our Father, right? And these are just some verses that you should be familiar with, where it says in Romans chapter 8:15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out,
Abba,
Abba Father." Right? Let's cry out, Abba Father.
Abba Father.
Right? So we can call out to our God, Abba Father. Isn't that great? It's that a step deeper in terms of this relationship we have with God. Matthew 7:11 talks about, you know, our God being a good Father who gives us gifts. And you know that in this context, it's asking for the Holy Spirit as well to help us. And the last one, we know the prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. It says what? Our Father in heaven. So we know all this, okay? So that's cool. And then when as you all know, we just had a wedding last December, and I was the scripture reader, right? And I was reading this verse, and immediately I captured a few things. And it's all highlighted there. Maybe let's all read together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. Basically means perfect, right? So if we go quickly to the next slide, it's basically saying, number one, where I voted that He loved the church and gave Himself. And we know that in Romans, that one says Romans 5 verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, while we were still, like, you know, with our quote-unquote dark spots, while we were still not even looking for God, not even thinking about Him, He died for us. That is that great love. And Mike Bickle described it as that paradox of grace. No matter how we look at, naturally, people look at us, we may be having all these weaknesses and all that, but the paradox of grace is that God still loves us. And He still calls us beautiful, and He still values us as really, really, really precious. Wow, that's so amazing, right? And then the second one that I bolded about, that He wants to sanctify and cleanse us, which means, yes, we have these dark spots, yes, we have all these weaknesses, but He doesn't want us to remain there. He wants us to be sanctified and to change from glory to glory. And here in another verse says, in John chapter 17, verse 17, right? Okay? So that's quite, sanctify them by thy truth, and thy word is truth. And then the last one is preparing a perfect church, right? For His coming. God is building His church. That's another language that we use. He's building the church, that perfect church for His coming back. And we see that in Ephesians 4, chapter 11 to 12, right? And He gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So all these people are there that God sent in order to change us, to help us to grow towards that perfection. Right? Amen? So we can't, I think if some of you go through the life thing, the point of principle of church life is that we are not meant to do this alone.
Yep.
Right? In this Christian life, we're not meant to walk alone. The body of Christ is there to edify each other for this preparation of His coming back. But when He comes back, He comes back for a perfect church.
That's right.
Amen. Alright, so that's not my message, that's just the intro. Alright, so remember, we're talking about lessons from, but you see here, this is the, let's call it the template that I use to the sharing today, that what I received from the camp was, number one, this paradox of grace. Oh wow, God loves me no matter what. But number two, He doesn't want me to remain where I am. He's always challenging me. And the language in the Song of Solomon is, there is a mountain that He wants us to come up.
Yeah.
And not to be in the shade tree eating apples to refresh ourselves. Yes, that's good. Yes, that's like, let's call it level one. But we need to move up level two, level three, and so on. Right? And then the last one, there is, we don't just go up level four for nothing. There is a goal. There is a goal. The goal is that perfection.
Yeah.
So that's the template of today's sharing, okay?
Amen.
So if you don't get anything else after this, doesn't matter. As long as you got that verse, the Ephesians verse, then you're good, alright? But again, it's not just, this is what I learned today. But it's a lot of this, you can see, it's a process in life that we go through. It's not just when we're born again, we realize what a sinner we are, and then we ask God to forgive us, and we repent, and that's it. It's a daily thing, it's a progression, right? All these things that we describe, it's not just one day or one season, it's going to be, let's call it, while we're here on earth, it's going to be all the time that we review this over and over again, amen?
Yeah.
Alright, so Song of Solomon, one of the key verses that were given to us is this verse, Solomon's chapter 8, verse 6 to 7, and he said that he saw this in a wedding card somewhere, and like, you know, someone invited him to a wedding and he saw this, but this is where it all sort of, this is, as you see, this is chapter 8, this is the end, right? We look at the destiny of the bride. Remember, we talk about who's the bride? Spiritually speaking, the church, right? This is that destiny of the bride. This is at her most mature kind of thing, right? This is watch. Okay, when he declared, and she declares this. Let's declare together. 1, 2, 3.
Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised.
And just a quick definition of all this. This one is quite simple to interpret. It's basically, we want God to be our first love, right? And we want that we to be the seal of His heart, right? So it's quite, and the love as strong as death. We know that Jesus loved us so much that He gave His life, right? He died for us. And then this love is described as a fire that cannot be extinguished by water, right? Normally, water overcomes fire, but in this case, it doesn't, right? And then the last one is that if a man would give love for wealth, this is what he described as the reward for more love. The reward for love is the privilege to love more. Okay, where he described it as, you know, if you love, he gave an example. If let's say someone, a couple, gave birth and the baby was sick, right? Let's say some sort of disease, and they have to sell everything in order to pay the medical bills for the baby, right? And when people say, wow, what a great thing you have done, and the parents are like, no, this, what we've done is not, it's just because we love the child, right? That's what it means by that wealth that they had to sacrifice, or it's counted as despised. It's nothing. Don't even say that, like, that it's great. The great thing is we want to love the child more, right? Okay, so that is the way it's saying here. We don't then demonstrate our love with God to what we can do, or what we can have, or what we can accumulate in life. But it's more that being. It's just ourselves. We just want to love more. And the reward for more love is when we can love even more.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it was described. It's just, again, it's just amazing, and it kind of doesn't give it justice to just share about this in half an hour when we went through like 12 sessions basically. So 12 hours of it, and it's just, I don't know, this is just a summary, very, very brief, bite-sized stuff to get you all excited, okay? Alright. And then the other key scriptures that he uses is that the point of what he shared was in the Songs of Solomon, it's a time for us to come back to our first love and to come back to this Matthew 22:37-39, where he describes about the great commandment. But you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So again, to me, here it's like, wow, I really need to return back to my first love. If not, you know, I like to share about being mature sons, about, you know, this is your house, so anything you see that's wrong, you do it. Yes, but then sometimes in the midst of busy doing things, we can forsake our first love, okay? Yeah, yeah. And then that's where we burn out, we get frustrated. Why doesn't everyone else is like as enthusiastic as me? You know, you get very frustrated, things like that. But then in the end, our focus, my focus has maybe shifted. It's like we burn out, then we say, oh, actually I'm doing it for the Lord. Oh yeah, I'm okay. Right? It shouldn't be after we like all burn out and all this, then we say, oh yeah, yeah, I'm doing it for the Lord. Yes, yes, okay. But it's from the beginning, through the work as well, as yes, it's also described again, and it's like while we are in the field, as it is described, our focus is always on God. Our focus always on His love. And then the next one is, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So here, how much God the Father loved God the Son, that intensity of love is the one that He has for us. Wow, isn't that amazing? Yeah, to realize that. So while now that we know this, then how do we respond? Okay, so before that, just a little bit more. Yep, next. About this thing called the paradox of grace. Okay, if you want, that can be the title. So, but basically, God always sees us as beautiful and precious. And it's not like, you know, when couples who have their newborn, it's like, oh, cute, cute, cute. And then when you look, like, really? Like, you know, okay, I'm being real, right? What I'm trying to describe is not blind love. It's like just because it's your son or your daughter, oh, it's the most cutest baby in the world. It's not like that, right? But there is something about why do God view us as beautiful, okay? And the Song of Solomon starts with this. You know, the Shulamite woman says this, I am dark but lovely. So there, and then, so she declares she's dark. But the beloved or the king says that no, you are fair, you are fairest among women, and so on. So there's this thing about how we view or how others may view us as dark and all this, but yet God always declares we are lovely, we are fair, we are beautiful, so on and so on, right? And also maybe the enemy as well, Satan takes this opportunity to any opportunity to just put seed thoughts to say, no, you're dark, you got these dark spots, you got these weaknesses, no one's gonna, you know, like you, so on and so on. But yet we see this God of ours. Yes, we cannot be we cannot be hypocrite and say, oh yes, I'm always lovely. But to acknowledge that we have this weakness, it doesn't mean we have to continue with it. Yeah? But if God sees us as beautiful, then it encourages us to pursue to get better and better, to grow unto perfection, right? Rather than what he says, like, this is not an angry God who say, why you didn't do this, why you didn't do that, da, 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 right? But it's the one that goes, come on, you can do it, you are beautiful, you have potential in you, come on. That, isn't that a better way of viewing God? And then it encourages us to come out of our, what we call comfort zone, and you know, what we love to do and all this, that it may not be right, may not be God, what God wants us to do. Yeah? And that's more encouraging. And this verse about, you know, you've ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse, is talking about now how Jesus has become as one of us. Yeah. Right? He's relating to us like that. Okay? So, just a few things. So, we are lovely before God, even in our weakness, is because, number one, is God's personality. So He's kind, He's tender, He's loving. He, right? Remember, we always talk about this God of ours is a God of second chances. Mm. Right? It's not anything. It's this grace that He has for us. He just wants you all to come to Him. And He's provided that way, but we all must respond. Right? The gift is there, but we got to respond to that. And it can be not just talking about sinners or believers, unbelievers. Even now, maybe when we fall, we may like just want to be like wallow in our, you know, weaknesses or whatever. Right? And we say, oh, we can't do it. Well, let's just stay here. Let's not go deeper into God. But the paradox is, the more deeper you go into God, you're going to see even more of your weaknesses. You begin to see a lot more, like, oh, I actually have pride. I thought I was quite humble, right? But as we go deeper in God, the paradox is we're going to see a lot of this, but it's not to condemn us, it's not to punish us, but the discipline is there is so that we can break away from it. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Alright, second is, He sees us beautiful because we put on the righteousness that Jesus has given us. Amen? I mean, that's pretty straightforward. The third one is that when we show a willing spirit to sincerely obey or change, then our victory begins when we say. Alright, here is saying that as long as we say, God, whatever it is, I will obey. Good, bad, whatever. If I decide to obey, then the victory is already, the breakthrough has already begun. When we set our mind and say, no, whatever it is, I will follow God's way. I will obey Him. And that's where our breakthrough starts. Amen? Is this speaking to some of you? Yeah? So this kind of thing, when we were going through in the camp, it was just like, wow. Okay, keep going. And then you just gotta highlight, and then now I've got time to digest it and all this. But it's just amazing. And then the last one, this is even more amazing. When God sees us, He sees us at our end. He sees the end product, which means whatever seeds of character that He's already planted in us, whatever our potential and destiny that He writes, right? It's already, that's what He sees in us. And that's why He said, look, you've got so much, you've got this. I know what you're going to be if you keep going, keep pressing in. So that's why we are beautiful to Him. Amen? And where He gave an example about Gideon. Do you know who Gideon is? Yeah, in the book of Judges. Okay, if you want to read about Gideon, it's in Judges chapter 6, alright? But just in summary is that in this time, the Israelite was losing to the Midianites and they were in hiding. And Gideon was also, they were hiding in caves and all that, and Gideon was also hiding. But yet, when the angel appeared to him, the first thing he said, Gideon, mighty man of valor. It's like, huh? Valor, like courageous, boldness? No. No, we were hiding, we were like scared, right? But yet God sees something and calls forth that destiny, calls forth that character, right? And we see that Gideon still gives quote-unquote excuses, like, but it's not that it's not true. He said, like, you know, my clan is the weakness, I'm the least, and my father means, I think, youngest or smallest or whatever. But you can see all this natural here, but truly God sees us as our potential. Then again, like for me, as how God speaks about being sons of God, this is what God is looking at us, and He's waiting for us to reach that potential. And He's giving us ways to reach. He's given us, like Pastor Joseph has been declaring, God is giving us grace, that love and that communion of the Holy Spirit to reach this potential. Amen? Alright? So here, this is all the introduction, okay? We talk about paradox of grace and things. Alright, so after knowing all this, what is my response? Right? I'll put it personal. What is my response, right? And this year, what is kind of like what I want to get into is, number one is to develop love obedience. Or, he described it as this. There's three types of obedience. All biblical. It's not like one is wrong, the other. But there are different levels. Let's put it that way. Number one is the affection-based obedience, where it flows from experiencing His affection from us first, right? If you see the chapter of the Song of Solomon, you can almost track the maturity of the bride, okay, or the woman from chapter 1 all the way to 8. So the ones after chapter 5 onwards is when she begins to be realizing and maturing. And so here in chapter 7, it says here, the wine goes down smoothly for my beloved. What he's saying is that, you know how white always represents the Holy Spirit? It means that it is easy for us to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's no more arguing anymore, and it's like this thing about as God speaks to us, we just want to do it. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I belong to, the second one is, because I belong to Him, then any of His desire and His will is my main focus. It's the most important thing in my life. Okay, no more my own will, what I want to do, but Him. Purely because He belongs to me and I belong to Him. So here in chapter 6, it says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Even in chapter 7, it's repeating as well a similar verse like this, where she begins to see, whatever I'm doing here is no more for my own, but I'm doing it for God. Amen. Alright. And then the second and the third one is duty-based obedience. So we obey even when we feel nothing. So this is the one, which is sometimes we need to have that, right? When we don't feel like doing it, we're just doing it because it's our duty. But also then the third one is fear-based obedience, where the fear of negative consequences. Again, this is not wrong. For example, we don't want to continue so that the path to destruction, which is hell, right? There are things that we don't do because it will lead to death.
Yep.
And this is fear obedience. But what is it? Is that what's the difference between the first one and number two and three? Is that number one will be the deepest and most consistent. It's the one that will last longest. Alright?
Yep.
And also when we put our commitment to love, we need first that revelation of His love for us. Then only the number one can work. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? Because it flows from experiencing His affection for us first. If not, we're just manufacturing the love as well. Okay? So truly, this is something that I want to build in my life, so that nothing that I do is like, oh, it's just duty. Or in case I don't get this or that. Okay? The fear. Because that one will cause us to burn out. That one will not change our heart or our attitude. The number one is the one that will result in heart transformation. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And when I was doing this, it's interesting when I think about how I was trained up, right, in the house, right? When we begin to get chores at home, the first thing is like, if you don't do it, you get what we call rotan, which is a cane or whatever. Okay, this is back in Malaysia when I was young. So you're like, oh, I better do it because I don't want to get rotan. Okay, if you all know what that is, or cane, okay, or spank, or whatever you call it, right? That's like fear-based obedience. Oh, better do. But then after that, once you do it, then you know, okay, this is yours. Okay, you do. You don't have to let people know, or you don't have to ask anyone. My duty is to scrub the floor and wipe the windows. And it was quite almost every week, because Malaysia is really dusty. We gotta wipe the windows all the time. Okay, if not, you just do this. Oh, just 1 week. Oh, it's very thick already, right? But then realizing is that when you get your own house, when it's your own house, because you quote unquote love your house, you will do it, right? And you don't say, I know. But maybe you still complain, but you still do it anyway, right? And this is something that God just spoke to me as I begin to mature in this church, right? It's just interesting to think back about how I was growing up and how do we apply that spiritually as well, right? It's like sometimes, are we doing things because it's out of fear? Or is it out of duty, or it's out of affection? Yeah? So, good with me? Yeah? I only got 3 points, okay? 3 points. Okay. So that's point number one. Point number two, alright? To have this progressive maturity. So I say progressive because all the time we gotta think to ourselves, we cannot remain where we are. As long as we're living here, we gotta keep looking at going up and up and up with Him. Alright, so here I put something. So remember, this is chapter 2 and 3. So let's just put it in simple terms: the bride's not so mature yet. okay, in terms of the Song of Solomon. So here, he's talking about challenging the comfort zone. So here, I won't read all of that, but you see in chapter 2, verse 3, the top one is like the apple tree and the shade of the apple tree. So this is talking about just enjoying God, right? Just enjoying, just being at the shade under the tree. It's not wrong, but if you read the verses in between, the beloved or the king is jumping up in mountains. Okay, it's described as he's the mountain, and he says, "Come up, rise up, come up with me here." All right? Yeah, you are under the shade and all that. It's fine, but come up with me up here on the mountain. And when she said, "I will rise now," but she didn't go to the mountain. She went to the city instead. So there's like a compromise. Right? So here, her compromise is described here is not because of rebellion, but purely because her immaturity or her fear. Okay? And she's too comfortable where she at, and she's afraid to go higher. So that's all. But that's a theme that that Mike Bickle always keeps saying is that when we don't do something, for example, if God challenges something and we don't do it, it's not rebellion. Okay, there's a difference between rebellion and weakness. Weakness or our immaturity, that we're scared to, we're afraid to move higher. Right? So, but God is always encouraging us to move higher, to move higher. Because what Satan likes to do is to point finger, and then doesn't want us to move higher. So that's the lies of the enemy. So we've got to break away from that. And we know that that because of this progressive maturity has looking for us, how do we grow is that God sends, like in Ephesians that we read before, that God sends the fivefold. And the most important one, the one that spends the most time with us is our spiritual parents, our pastors. When for me, I can speak is that since day one, they know me. But since I was born again, they know me. Alright, so basically like a baby Christian from growing, they know me from my beginning, right? Some of us may be a bit different, but you know what I'm saying? That they know us the most, and they see what is holding us back. Spiritually, they can see that. And when I was sharing this in the, the New Year's Eve celebration thing, that I view our pastors as life coach. Because we will think that I come up here, oh yay, I've graduated. But yet, there's something that somehow, once you arrive at that comfort zone, right? So for example, maybe this is the tree with the shade, and then you come up to this mountain, there's another tree, and you begin to be comfortable here. Then suddenly, pastor will challenge you with something, oh, there's another mountain to go up now. Right? So maybe, and God sort of speaking to me, is like, there are all these mountains in our life that we gotta keep going up. We cannot, and on every mountain, there's maybe a tree that we become comfortable with, because we think, oh, I'm a good giver, yeah, I give quite a lot, you know, you can be quite proud. Yeah. But then when you, and then pastor will begin to challenge something. I don't know, maybe it's different for each of you, or different areas, not just about giving, not just about forgiving, not just about whatever it is. There's always a time that we are going to be challenged out of our comfort zone. Amen?
Yeah.
And the best person to do that is the ones that are closest to us. So some of us, maybe it's parents as well, that they can see. But more important, spiritual parents, where they see in the spirit, and we see how we are supposed to grow to that level of maturity. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, so let's keep going. So here, just quickly, so he wants us to grow and experience new things with him. So here Paul described as those that can receive milk or those can receive meat. Right? Meat is those that are a bit more mature, that has teeth to chew on that meat. Right? So then that these new things that we experience in God can only happen when we rise up with him. Alright? Maybe he wants to reveal a greater aspect of the kingdom that we haven't experienced that. He wants to take us places of new levels of intimacy, right? This is that year that we're declaring. New levels of protection, new levels of healing, miracles, wonders. There are new places as the becoming more revealed as what it means to be sons of God. You know, all these things that God wants to bring us. Amen? And when he disciplines, I think I'm just repeating this, it is not punishment or condemnation. We got to see the difference between discipline to punishment and condemnation. The enemy likes to condemn us, right? Condemnation will lead to nothing, no change. Right? In fact, it will lead to even worse change. Right? But discipline is meant to bring us higher, be better, change from glory to glory, alright? And to release us from what is actually holding us back. Sometimes it's our own desires that is holding us back, that God is asking us to let go, right? Because again, there's something that He declares is that sometimes the greatest stumbling block or the greatest enemy is ourselves. And we need the Holy Spirit to reveal what are these things in our life that it's holding us back from growing. Okay? Alright, so next one, number 3. Are you all still with me?
Yeah,
it's getting a bit quiet. I'm getting a bit scared. Alright, so let's read what's number 1?
Develop
love, obedience. Number 2?
Progressive
maturity. And number 3, then out of this maturity or out of this knowing His love, then we begin to serve others with and unto the Lord. Okay? So here in the first part in Solomon's chapter 6, 11, it talks about I went down to the garden and the vine that just budded and all this. So the garden and the vine is talking about the body of Christ and His people. And we know that in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul here describes, "For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building." So whatever we do here, we're doing it so that we are edifying each other. And the budding, the things that are budding, is talking about those that could be what we call spiritually immature. And those are the ones that are budding. So this is the one where we talk about when we work together, if people are not as enthusiastic as you, or maybe how come there's all this complaining and all, we don't see it as a stumbling block to do unto the Lord. What we have to see is that we were like that before, and God is using us now to help them to grow to this new level of maturity. So we don't see people's weaknesses and that kind of stop us or make us frustrated or whatever it is, right? But we begin to see, I'm doing this for Him. And when you see others as He sees others, not just we're talking about those unbelievers, you know, people who need Jesus and all this, but in the house itself, everyone has a different stage of growing. And we begin to realize, hey, I was like that before, but yet He showed His great love for me. So now I want to help them to grow as well.
Yeah.
Right? And this is what He's talking about. Let us go and tend to these new buds. Right? So the enthusiasm for others flows from knowing Him, or knowing His enthusiasm for us when we were immature. Alright? So can you see how it works now? Yeah? So if we go to the next one. So this is the next verse. Then before I was even aware, my soul has made me the cherished of my noble people. So here, before I was even aware, as we keep having this good attitude of looking at others as though they are still growing, then before we know it, suddenly we begin to develop the zeal for them. In the midst of the serving, the zeal and compassion for God's people will grow. For those in the house, for those what we call brothers and sisters of Christ, in Christ, right? We begin to see this, and then we begin to move swiftly and powerfully. That's what chariot means. Chariot is something that goes really fast in that day, right? It's the fastest and the most powerful vehicle of the day, right? So it's talking about here. So what we learn from this is that as we put our focus, as we put our focus on the Lord, we are continually refreshed and renewed. So in the midst of the doing, we can be also refreshed and renewed. Alright, and this is a verse that we got to keep in our heart. It's that whatever we do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Okay, so this is a verse about doing it unto the Lord. And if we go to the next slide, okay, Solomon's chapter 7 here talks about let us. So here, can you see now it's let us? So which means she and the king together. So we and Jesus together. There is that partnership now. Let us go to the field. Remember the field we're talking about, the body of Christ. Let us get up early. So now there is this diligence that's being built up that we want to do it early and longer, maybe. And then there, that's how we will give our love to God. Okay, so we're no more doing it alone with our own strength, and we are doing it together with Him. And this is what I think when Pastor released the word, you know, having that communion. Remember grace, love, and communion. When we do together with the Holy Spirit, I think that's another next level of doing things, right? In the midst of the working, as we continue to focus, as we continue to commune with the Holy Spirit, that's the one that will push us further and better. Amen? Yeah. Alright, so again, I'm just sharing this because this is really what God's speaking to me and something to work on this year. As you know, it's exciting to see God is going to do mighty things in our city. Amen? Yeah. We talk about Easter parade. Like today, this afternoon, we're going to have a prayer rally with the indigenous people. You know, all these things, it's just exciting to see them as work, right? Things that we can do, but if we don't do it with the right, if I don't do it with the right focus and the right mentality, we're just gonna burn out.
That's right.
Yep, we're just gonna go, I don't wanna do it anymore, or whatever it is, right? So, in conclusion, first one here is that when God's great love is revealed to us, it is easier to respond in love, obedience. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
Right? When it's beginning to see this, maybe let's read the conclusion together. Number one.
When God's great love is revealed to us, it is easier to respond in love and obedience.
Number two.
His desire is not for us to remain where we are, but go up higher and higher to where He is. Maturity process.
Okay, number three.
As we mature in Him, we see His heart for others in the family and those outside. Learn to see others as how He sees us.
So, again, just to encourage us, this our Father in Heaven is not the one that always disappointed that we're not doing this, not doing that, but always trying to encourage us. Come on, you're pressing in. You're doing it. Just keep pressing in. Don't give up. That's the kind of Father we have. And then, in terms of maturity, one of the things that when I first joined the training and being under pastor, when God talked to me about maturity, what maturity is or what is it defined, then God gave me a simple thing was there are some things we will have to do and there are some things that we don't. And then I said, what does that mean? And then He gives me the picture of a baby using drinking milk, right? When the baby grows up, first what do they use? They use a bottle, right? And then when they grow up a bit further, they use the cup with the two handles. I don't know. Sticky cup, right? And then when they go a bit further, they can use a proper cup, and then they want to drink Milo from now on, you know? Right? But can you see, there are some things, the grown-up baby will not go back and to use the bottle. Okay? They just don't do that. Why? Because it's more mature, it's more grown up. So there are some things in our life. There are some things like the Bible describes, we are still babies because we are carnal. There's still things that we like, we want it in our lives. But if we say that we are going to mature in God, some of these things we got to not do anymore. Right? There's a verse in the Bible, it's like, all things are permissible, but not all of it is beneficial.
Yeah.
There's some things that it's not about right or wrong, it's just that mature people wouldn't do. Okay, let's put it simply. But yet, there are some things we got to start taking on because we are now in this greater level of maturity. So you don't go, how come I have to do it and they don't? Right? How come everyone else is doing this but I've got to do this? Right? But depending on where you are with God, maybe God is challenging each and every one of us because purely you are now in this higher maturity. I'm challenging you to get onto this maturity level. It's no more. It's not about comparison. It's not about this or that or this person, that person. He's doing this, I'm doing that. But it's more that with your walk, with your journey with God, how deeper you are going, there are some things you just gotta do or you take on, but there are some things you just gotta give up. Yeah. So maybe this. Hopefully, this speaking to some of you. You know, and you know, some people describe as, you know, we take the high road. You know, or we don't do it the easy way. This is maybe some evidence of our maturity. Yeah? Now, we know, like, with children, if they get offended, what's the first thing they do? They punch. It's just almost automatic, right? It's just like, you hit me, I hit you. But I think in our time, this is me, right? When the baby gets knocked on the table, we say, you beat the table, you hit the table. And somehow that improves or that makes the baby feel better. I don't know about this, but this is how I was trained, right? Maybe that's bad training because you're instilling revenge. I don't know. I don't know about you, but this is what I was, right? And then when we beat the table or the chair, and then the baby would laugh. It's like, ha ha, and then it's like, oh, it's okay now. But actually, there's no pain, it's just a little bit, right? We try to. But this is what I mean, like, children would do this, right? If they don't get something they don't want, they just react, you know, punch. But when we grow up, we sometimes we say, hey, why you still do it like this? Or why you do that? You're not a child anymore. You're not, quote unquote, 7 years old, you're not 10 years old, and then we go up and I'm up, right? And then they wonder, how come last time I can do it and I don't get in trouble, but now I can't? Because you are in a greater maturity level. So, as we see this in the kids, even the Malaysia kids and myself, we need to see, am I doing that spiritually? Are we doing that spiritually? You know, we're arguing with God, and God's just basically, but I just want you to grow. Just want you to come up with me now in this new level. Alright, so 2019 is a year of increase.
Yep.
Amen. Right? We declare that, and we declare for everyone that we truly will have increase in our intimacy with God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the prophetic word and for these words that you share with us through the Songs of Solomon, that Lord, we want to grow in maturity. We want an increase and a deeper relationship with you right now in Jesus' name. We just declare hunger and thirst in each and every one of us, that we will increase, Lord. Lord, that we will go up higher and higher with you to the mountains. And Lord, as we mature, our love matures, Lord, and we begin to see others as how you see them. That when we do things, Lord, we are doing it with you and unto you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just declare this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are growing.